In a dystopian technological realm full of confusion and disarray, three heroes emerged with a message to the masses. The year was 2004. Googlebot struck first, scorching the SERPs. The webmasters fought back, but the battle was brutal and decisive. When the smoke cleared, the webmasters were divided and defeated. Until now, a resistance has started, and the bots have been answered. Tune in to join the resistance and learn to fight the good fight and claim your place in the SEO world. From the minds at Mind Development and Design, welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. Be prepared to unlock the secrets of Google rankings and dominate your competition with the knowledge provided by your SEO guides, David Brown, Mark Boyd, and Russ Randolph. Mind Your SEO.
Hey there, and welcome to this week's Mind Your SEO podcast. I'm Mark Boyd with Dave Brown and Russ Randolph, and we're doing some spring cleaning this week. We've got some tips for you for what you can do to shore up your website, some things that you need to look for, some things you need to freshen up on, because SEO is indeed always evolving. And I think as good of a starting point as any is Google Analytics and Google Webmaster Tools. Make sure you have them. Make sure you're using them. Make sure you're taking the time to know what exactly you're looking at, because there's a lot to it. And Dave, how often have we seen people have analytics set up and they don't even know what they're looking at? They have it, but they're not even really using it, so they can't benefit from it.
Well, a lot of times people don't have it, but as a rule of thumb, general rule of thumb with us, we don't work with any client that does not have analytics set up, some form or function or the other. AW Stats from a cPanel hosting account actually works really well also, but it's not nearly as pretty or as useful as Google Analytics. And Google Analytics has become less useful over the last year with the not provided and shown, with all searches being secure and whatnot. So the biggest thing to me with Google Analytics is it's really hard to tell where you're going and where you came from if you don't have a rule and guide to show you. As with anything, you can plant some carrots. Oh, they're really big. How big are they? They're an inch and a half, growing out of the ground now. Or, oh, now they're 3 inches. That's probably a horrible analogy, which comes often from me because I make them up on the fly. But if you don't have a way to measure and if you don't have goals set up, what are your expectations for your site? Do you want people to sign up to a newsletter? Do you want people to hit the contact us button? Those are all things that can be set up as goals in analytics. I think we got like 6 or 7 of them, and I got a choice one yesterday. I think I just deleted it, otherwise I'd pull it out and read it to you. But SEO company calling us and telling us, oh, this was great too. SEO firm based in Connecticut. They recently partnered with Google to ensure our clients will be ranked for keywords within their industry. Prices start at $500 a month and go up to $1,500 a month. We are able to guarantee results. Google flat out says in their terms of service that anybody that says that they are in partnership with them and can guarantee results, don't walk, run away from them.
Red flag.
Dave, why would they do that, though, when somebody gets into it and They can't deliver on that? They can't guarantee those kinds of rankings. How do they get around that, or do they not? Do they just take your money and run?
They're definitely they know exactly what they're doing. They're going after people's money.
Talking about, oh, this one's guaranteed.
Yeah, they're planning on people not being informed, which is the case. Most of the time, I think most people don't truly understand SEO and what it is that we do, and they're vultures.
So they're basically just taking advantage of people not knowing, and if they get the right kind of person in there, somebody who's not educated on SEO, they can basically tell them whatever line of BS as an explanation when they don't get what they paid for.
Right. which is interesting too, because this guy has got Call Me in this is Nelson from Web Focus LLC, which has a PR of zero. They don't actually rank for anything, and they ran an SEO audit, and they're telling us that we should go after specifically long-tailed keywords that are innocuous and nobody ever searches for. Yeah, we can make you rank for that pretty quick. I did a test on the term, or the way that I spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It was very easy to rank for that almost overnight because very few people were trying to rank for that. But if you were selling a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious blue widget, I could rank you for that overnight. It's kind of ridiculous because you got 3 impressions, 0 clicks, which means you made $0 off of ranking for that. How important is that to you and your business? The appropriate answer. Web Focus LLC, thank you for scamming us, and have a nice day. We called you out. You're a jackass. I'm not fans of SEO providers like this. It's a joke. And people that are doing that, we don't send out. We especially don't go to people's contact us pages on an SEO department and tell other SEOs, oh, you have an SEO company? We can rank you for SEO. Although we don't rank for anything.
Right.
But we can rank you.
Oh, we thought SEO meant spam everything often.
Exactly. So the important things with Google Analytics, yes, you do absolutely need to set it up. If for nothing else, that when you do work with a qualified SEO company, they're going to want to be able to see historical data. So if you have 6 months or a year or 2 years worth of data, it's great for us to be able to go back and look at it and see where you've come from, where you're going. You know, you guys are doing really good on Pinterest and Twitter, not so well on Facebook. You know, shore up your social media. All of those sorts of things can be delved into, and we can, the more data that we have to look at, the better off we are for a client. So for spring cleaning, if you're not currently using Google Analytics, absolutely set it up, and that'll bring us right into the next portion, which is Google Webmaster Tools.
Webmaster.
You can use an admin account to register your Google Webmaster Tools within one click. Very easy to do. Make sure you have that set up and that you're using it. There's many things that you need that for, like being able to use annotations on YouTube videos. A lot of people still are not aware. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, also owned by Google. And if we know anything about Google, it is that Google loves Google. Nothing wrong with a little self-love, right?
So, I love me some me.
Yeah. So make sure you have this set up and that you're using it. This is how Google contacts you to let you know if you have a manual spam penalty or if you have site errors or issues or downtimes. Googlebot tried to visit 17 times on this day and could not get in. Either your hosting was down or something or other. You have an abnormal amount of 404 errors. Please fix these, yada, yada.
And you don't get that through analytics. You can't get that that specific information. So would it be fair to say that if somebody did not have Webmaster Tools set up, they could be in penalty and not even know it?
Correct. Well, I mean, you'd know that you're not ranking the first page, and now I'm on page 108. What the hell's going on? Well, did you check Webmaster Tools? Did you check your message? That's how Google contacts site owners. So when you set up your Google Analytics, be sure and set up your Google Webmaster Tools as well. It's a great place to check in. We go over Webmaster Tools data every week with our clients, and it is important. There's a lot of good stuff in there. They'll tell you, for example, how you're ranking across all the different data centers. If that doesn't make sense to you, I'm up in just north of Seattle. Russ is just south of Seattle. Boyd is over in Pennsylvania, where the rest of our brick and mortar is at. We're all on different data centers. So, I don't know. Russ and I may be on the same one, but there's last published numbers was over 280 different data centers. So you're going to see different results on different data centers. So you'll see things like a 1.4 is your average rank for this term. Well, that means in most cases you're ranking number one, but in some cases you're ranking number two. That's where the 1.4 comes. It's a average between all of the data centers that they have, and that's information that Google's giving us. That's basically mana. We need to know those sorts of things.
Oh yeah.
When people are coming out of penalty, we've seen people jump as high as 800 places. That means they're 80 pages deep, back up to page two when they're coming out of penalty type of thing. So very good to see. You can check and see what kind of traffic is coming in through image search, through mobile, through web, through, you know, there's all kinds of different filters you can set up and take a look at these things. How many times your website was shown in the organic SERPs, and how many times you had clicks, what's trending, what's not. You can see the efforts that you're going after. We've got to sell more of this blue widget, so we frame some content around this, and we do a really good job making sure that this page is going to rank better. It goes up 30 places. Boom, we're on the first page. Traffic's gone up. Impressions have gone up. Clicks have gone up. At the end of the day, that means more money to the site owner. So Google Analytics and Google Webmaster Tools are foundational blocks that every site owner that is serious about their business. Look, if you're running a blog to tell me that you're jogging and trying to lose weight, maybe you don't need to cover it, because it's a personal blog for yourself and it doesn't matter. Why would you worry about SEOing it? Your mom and your aunt and your cousins are going to read it, and maybe five or six of your friends, but nobody else really cares. So if you're serious about your website, though, you need to have analytics and Webmaster Tools set up. So that's, well, you guys have seen all the stuff that we can do with analytics too. So there's just a plethora of information, and a proper SEO department will be able to walk you through and explain, hey, look, you guys are doing this, you're doing that. Here's the important things to look at, right?
And of course, in Webmaster Tools, you can see what you're really ranking for, how many clicks you're getting, and what kind of improvement you can get, which kind of segues into your keywords and taking a look at your keywords every year. You know, the business landscape changes. There are new buzzwords, new terminologies that you know come to light year by year. And Google even has a keyword tool.
Suggestion tool, yeah.
Yeah, keyword suggestion tool.
And that's super based off of pay-per-click, though. People paying pay-per-click. It is completely free to use. You can hop in there and take a look at that stuff. And, you know, using AdWords to get clients to your site is great, as long as you're not you know, bidding on innocuous terms that you shouldn't be in and completely blowing your budget. I don't know how many times I've talked to a client that's like, oh, AdWords is BS, we spent $25,000 on it last year and didn't get a single lead. Well, what were you bidding on? Well, we were bidding on hotel and sports and this and that. Yeah, you're up against TripAdvisor, Hotels.com, Priceline.com. These guys all have multi-million dollar budgets.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So, and why would you be, you know, doing travel? That is not even the industry that you're in. True, but our clients travel to these locations when they're doing the thing that they do. Wonderful. Why would you be bidding on those terms and expecting... It's like saying, it'd be like us at Mind bidding on computer, because websites are on computers. it's you know, Dell and IBM and all of those other guys we'd be going up against. So cost per click is going to be through the roof. And really, if you guys are going to dabble in that, it's kind of like investing. If you've never invested and you're going to, hey, you know what, I'm just going to give it a shot, I'm going to throw $100,000 at this and see if I become a millionaire, you're probably going to have a bad time. I'm thinking of that meme from the South Park timeshare episode where, if you're going to spend $100,000 on AdWords by yourself and you've never done this before, you're going to have a bad time. Get an expert in there. Find out what you should be bidding on, the types of things, you know. And I just segue into AdWords, which was not my deal at all. But the keyword AdWord tool, or the Google suggestion tool, keyword suggestion tool, is primarily based off of AdWords numbers. So they can tell you the volume of times that people have searched for a term and clicked on a certain thing and what your competition landscape is. So that's great. There are several other keyword tools out there. Moz has some. Raven has some. WebCEO has some. Majestic SEO has some. They all have tools. So it's a six dozen, half one of the other, or however that saying goes.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
So here's another thing, too. When it comes to keywords, I'll ask my mom, who if I said her age on air, she'd kill me if she ever heard this, but she's much older. She does have a healthy bank account, and she buys all kinds of stuff online all the time. So I'll ask her, hey, if you were looking for this, how would you search it? Oh, I'd use this as a search term. Okay, well, that's interesting. That's a great way to find a long-tail term. Another great example, back when Brian Mark and I did work for toolbarn.com, we ranked number one in the world for tool, the singular, and tools, the plural, and damn near gave the CFO a coronary. He thought the bottom was falling out of the company because we had all kinds of traffic. There was like 1.62 billion competitors for that term. We even outranked the band tool, right? And there's a tool for dang near everything. You've got tools for your guitars, Boyd. I've got tools for, you know, well, I've got the standard toolbox, you know, for fix-it-at-home type of stuff. You know, ratchets and blah, blah, blah. They only sold tools to contractors, right? So going through the raw logs, we're finding all kinds of stuff for tools like dental tools and horseshoeing tools and all this stuff. So it's great if you want to just show somebody, hey, I can get a lot of traffic to your site. Wonderful. If none of it's converting, what is the point? You just want to up your monthly hosting bill to just have a whole bunch of people coming in? So you need to find the terms. For example, the best one I can use, because we had like a 74% conversion rate on this, which is phenomenal and unheard of. We had the HG1100 heat gun, which has an element that burns out after about 1,000 hours worth of use. And these contractors, if they don't have another one, they can't lay down their laminate, or they can't do this, or they can't do that. So they need another one on the job ASAP. So that particular term, when somebody types that in, we already know that their element went out. They need a new one, right? So we offer free overnight shipping on this. We had a 74% conversion rate. They type that in, and granted, maybe only 100 people come in, but we sell 74 of them, right?
Yep.
They need that. They need it tomorrow so they can finish their job and they can get paid. So it's also understanding your client's needs. You sell a blue widget that does what exactly? What are these people looking for? What can we do? So keywords are very important. And a lot of times clients come to us, and no offense to any of our clients, but a lot of times they're wrong. Well, I want to rank for this. Well, we sell tools. We want to rank for tool. No, actually you don't. We've been there. We've done that. It's very bad because it's so innocuous as a term. You're going to get a whole bunch of dud traffic. Wow, our conversion rates are really low. We're at 0.5%, whereas we were at 3.5% before we started ranking for this. We thought we'd do much better with all that extra traffic. Well, you know, we had 30,000 people come in for dental tools. We don't carry dental tools.
Right.
For there's zero chance of conversion, and that skews our numbers. So you really need to know and understand your client's needs. You need to understand your demographic. Is it 25 to 45-year-old women? Is that what we're going after? Then we need to frame all of our content this way. We need to put ourselves in their shoes and think like they do. How would they search for it? What types of things are they looking for? You can go to trends.google.com and type in key phrases, and you can see historical data for how popular something was. For example, if you type in Paris Hilton into trends.google.com, when her famous videotape came out, you can see exactly how popular she was online for a while. She's not nearly as popular now, but for a while there, you can see exactly what is popular. So if you're in an industry where there's, you know, maybe 3,000 people total, or 30,000 or 300,000 people are looking for your stuff, if you're trying out terms, and a lot of times this will surprise people, well, we really, really want to rank for this. We think this is the most important. Okay, we'll put that in there, and then you can put another keyword right next to it and go, oh, wow, I had no idea more people were searching for this than for this term. We thought for sure this was the term we should be going after. Quality keyword research is a huge portion of any SEO contract, of any SEO endeavor, really. So there are a lot of free tools out there. Ask other people. Ask someone that's elderly that doesn't use the internet very much. How would you search for this? Ask your clients. Ask your current clients. What search did you guys use to find us, by the way? We're just curious. Did you find us through the Yellow Pages? Did you find us through this? Follow up with clients. Ask them. A lot of times they'll be more than happy to tell you, and you can take that information and go, you know, a lot of people are finding us for this, and we never even thought of that. So
yep.
that is of the utmost importance. So do a spring clean every year and make sure that the keywords that you're trying to rank for and what you're putting your efforts towards are the proper keywords, key phrases, long tail terms, whatever you're going after.
And when we come back, we're going to look at some more good stuff, social sharing and updating your content, and even a little RDFA.
Google. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these commercial interest endorsements.
Hey, this is Mark Boyd from the Mind Your SEO podcast. You know, there's no worse feeling than someone telling you how bad your website looks, how hard it is to navigate, how busy and amateurish the design is, how, like Bono, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Well, very few businesses know that feeling because people are nice and they won't tell you. They just won't stay on your site and they won't come back. And if there's a problem, you'll only know because your traffic is low. Many of you are making do with a website that you know fits this description, but you don't think you can afford something better. Wrong. Out-of-Sites from Mind Development and Design will give your site the sharp, clean, professional web presence you need. And you don't have to be a technical genius to put your own fresh content and blog posts on there, because it's WordPress and we'll show you how to use it. Seriously, we'll show you. Build your own contact forms with ease. Block spammers with a Kismet, probably the best filter there is. Get more love from Google with the Yoast SEO plugin and cutting-edge RDFA. Something your competition probably doesn't know about, but will by year's end. And before I forget, Out-of-Sites are responsive design. They'll look great on any device from PC to smartphones. Ditch those mobile sites, people. They're old news, and Google doesn't like them. You want your website to look sharp like Joe Jackson, to navigate well like Lemmy, to get found like Rebecca Black, and to have responsive design so you get better response. Visit MindDevelopmentAndDesign.com or call 717-517-8383 and talk to one of our way cool, groovy, out of sight people to find out how to make your business out of sight.
Mind your SEO.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services. They've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
Glad you stuck around. We are too. Now back to the Mind Your SEO podcast from the minds at Mind Development and Design.
And we're back here with the Mind Your SEO podcast. And as promised before the break, we're going to get right into some other good topics for you for your spring cleaning. That's our mantra of the day, is spring cleaning your SEO. And social share buttons are another good area there. Make sure you have all the major social buttons on your site. including Google Plus. And I know, Dave, I learned from you that Google Plus is it's people love it, people hate it. So whenever people love something and hate something, it's always going to get attention. Google Plus has. Do you see Google Plus as being, outside of the fact that Google owns it and it's Google's product, do you see anything outside of that that makes Google Plus necessary for a business?
Well, let's look at it this way. Google owns the number one and number two largest search engines in the world, where you're going to find the majority, 65 to 70% of all your traffic to your site. So reduce it to the ridiculous. It's their sandbox, and if you don't play the way that they want to play, they're going to take their Tonka trucks and go home. So I would definitely say make sure that you have it. I would say when you're watching TV commercials, you don't ever see Google Plus. Well, you're starting to see it now, but
yeah,
it's usually just the Facebook logo and the Twitter logo on any major brand, any major chain. But they do also have Google Plus accounts. So use it if you want to, smoke them if you got them, type of thing. I wouldn't say that it's detrimental. I would never go out and pay to have likes to my site that are pluses or likes or
yeah,
retweets or anything like that. That's really cheesy and hokey. But and we discussed this in a different podcast. People can tell. Can't pronounce the name of any of these people. Aren't they a U.S.-based company? Interesting. They seem to be doing really well in the Philippines. So, anywho.
Hey, that band's number one in Japan.
Yeah, I'm huge in China. Because I'm 6 foot tall, you know. Anywho, the social share buttons are important to have. Make sure you have them. I wouldn't put off Reddit or Dig or StumbleUpon or Tumblr. People use them, so if you want to be in front of that audience, make sure you have them readily available. It's a lot easier to go and share something if I can do it through one click while I'm reading the article. So yeah, make sure you have them on your site, and make sure you have the accounts, and don't just set them up and do nothing with them. That's a recipe for failure. So if you're not planning on ever going on Twitter and making a single tweet or retweeting anyone or joining into any conversations, why then do you have a Twitter account? Just don't do it. If you're not going to be socially responsible with your website and your content and your brand's voice, then don't do it. But if you are going to put those things up, make sure that you have somebody in the office, whether it's a secretary or an assistant or somebody else or the CMO. You know, we talked to the CMO of one of our larger companies. He loves Facebook. And he's actually had his assistant stop doing the Facebook work because he enjoys it. That's great. So
What about Pinterest? How does Pinterest fit in the mix? Is it necessary for most businesses, do you find?
I would say, you know, kind of like we discussed Facebook for real estate agents, mm-hmm, having a fan page. If you have your own content and you have your own, your own images, if you're taking great quality images, we have a couple of manufacturers, largest manufacturer in the world of this blue widget, right? They have their own photography staff. They take excellent photos. Those photos are used on all of our resellers' websites. 20-plus different companies buy our product and resell them through their own name, but we're the largest manufacturer. We provide those images. They're great images. We take them. If you own the rights to those, then by all means, post them up. There's going to be a crowd of people that are interested in looking at them. Granted, I will say that the overall demographic for Pinterest is females. So, you know, like do it yourself, this or that or whatever. They'll show a really cool picture of like Cookie Monster cupcakes or something like this. Oh, that looks interesting. I can do that with some Oreos and some blue food coloring dye or whatever. And then it goes to an Instructables page. Businesses can also put in really cool items that they have and link it back directly to their landing page. Here's where you can buy this. Oh, you like this? Cool. Here's where you buy one. I've been on Pinterest since its beta, and it's it is cool. I really am into inventions. I found one, for example, that it's not like it's a normal occurrence. I get 80,000-mile tires from West Schwab, but anybody that's ever had to change a tire on the side of the road knows how much of a pain in the ass those little things, those little jacks are in the back of your car. Yep. Underneath your spare tire.
Yep.
This
yep.
is a really heavy duty nylon bag, and you hook a hose up to the exhaust, and you just put it under, and it lifts your car off the ground. You can change your tire. You pull this one way valve off, it deflates. You roll the bag back up and stick it under there. No real muss, no fuss. I think it's great. I clicked through it. I went and bought one. So. Guys do buy stuff off of Pinterest and things of that nature. So realistically, I mean, and there was one I've got up on my board that's a Oreo dipper. And it's just this plastic hook that you sink into the white part of the Oreo, and you can dunk it into your milk and pull it out. But I can do the same thing with a fork, right?
Yeah.
So, and I already own forks, but interesting, and it is a thing. So, I just thought it was interesting. I pinned it. Other people repin it. Sometimes I post funny stuff and people repin that. I really like funny marketing and things of that nature. So I'll pin those sorts of things. But as far as a business owner goes, don't just pin all of your stuff. Pin other cool things in your industry and show that you're participating. Otherwise, you're standing on top of a molehill with a bullhorn yelling, "I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Why aren't more people signing up?"
What you give is what you get.
Right. That's not the way business works. I mean, it'd be great if I could tie a order sheet to my dog's tail and let him run around town and come back with three orders every day. Just simply does not work that way.
Hey, get some great video footage of that and promote your business.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, if I tied anything to my dog's tails, they'd just freak out. So not that I've tried, but as far as the social share buttons, make sure you have them up and make sure that you're using them. If you're not using them at all, my question would be, why do you have them up? Well, some people share, you know, I've had 11 shares on Reddit, even though I don't even read Reddit. Okay, well, there's a problem there. You don't know what anybody's saying about you on Reddit. If it's been shared there 11 times, maybe go take a look and join the conversation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're doing yourself and your business a disservice. So same with any of those. Always go and check your shares and make sure that they're not being used for nefarious purposes. And, yeah, make sure you have them up there. So
I just like the fact that you worked the word nefarious into a sentence.
I always try and use the $5 dictionary words because I have a nice vernacular. and I worked vernacular in there too, didn't I?
Yes, yeah, you did. Twice.
Our wordsmith.
So, Pinterest is the one that I've always been on the fence about. I mean, it's undeniably popular, but I haven't done jack on Pinterest. What about you, Russ?
I do not use it at all, and I get this, it's very feminine vibe from it. I've never really dabbled with it very much.
Makes him question his masculinity.
You need to guy it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you can go in, Art of Manliness goes in there and posts a lot of stuff. So, I mean, it is primarily female focused right now, and I know Pinterest did not set out to be that way, but and I'm not saying that all women are photo driven, but some people are driven by photos, some people are driven by content, some people are, you know, text yep. content, some people are driven by audio content. I can't be bothered to read a book, but I'll listen to a podcast. Or I can't be bothered to read all these blog posts, but if somebody wants to tell me what they say or read them to me, I'll listen to it. Probably a really bad example there, but imagine if you had a client that was doing some really cool interior decorating, right? And she's taking, or he's taking, really good, high-quality, high-res, high-def pictures. Here's what you can do in a small space. Tons of people love watching those TV shows where they flip a house or they renovate them, the before and after, Extreme Home Makeover. It was this dump before, and now we've turned it into a mini Disneyland. They love to see the reveal. So here's the before, here's the after. If you're doing stuff like that, you know, an interior designer, even real estate agents, here's the before, here's the after on the flip of this house. Here's what it looked like before, here's what it looks like now. Here's a great bathroom, here's a great bedroom. You know, you can post those things up. People gather ideas from them. And if you want them to come to your site and read the content and read all the other stuff that you did, then sure, let people pin it. If you're doing interesting things and you have good photos, you should absolutely be on Pinterest. It is much more, it is used much more for business than something like Imgur or anything like that, or Instagram. So, absolutely use it if it applies to you. We don't really use Pinterest on our site because it's web design. You want to see what we do, go check out our portfolio. You can check all of them out. Putting up an image of a website as opposed to the link to a website kind of seems like an exercise in futility. So,
yeah,
it's not for us. But not to say that we wouldn't, if Chad wants to start showing off some of the logos and some of the designs he's done, those can always go up as well. Or infographics are going up more and more. So good place to throw up an infographic if you're doing those as well. So plenty of time spent on Pinterest there. If you have any questions, be sure and hit up our Ask a Question section if you have a specific question or anything of that nature, or even a vague question, and we'll make sure and answer it in one of the following episodes. But for lack of a better segue, let's get right into the next on the list here.
Broken links. I mean, would it be fair to say it can happen to anybody? You get links that get broken for one reason or the other that you don't have control of?
Sure. Well, that would primarily happen on inbound links, too, where you wouldn't have control of it. But if it's on your site, for example, a lot of times we'll have large e-commerce sites where, you know, 7,500 plus products, all the way on up to 500,000 products, and it's really easy to go, oh, we don't carry that product anymore. Oh, okay. That's why it's broken. It goes nowhere. So that's really crappy for somebody that's looking for that product, gets to your page and goes, oh, nothing we can do for you. Well, back button, bounce rate goes through the roof. Total waste of somebody coming in. So do you have another product similar to it? Did that page move to a new location? If it did, set up a 301 redirect in your HT access file. It's actually fairly simple to do. Anybody using cPanel can go in, take the old URL, put the new URL in, and set up a 301 redirect back to that. That'll fix that broken link. So it's not going to the exact page that was there before. It may be defunct because you stopped carrying that product, or you stopped carrying that brand name of the product. Now you carry this brand name of the product, right?
Yep.
Send people to the right places. You've got the traffic coming in. Make sure that they're not that traffic, that potential client or that potential purchaser, doesn't fall on a dead link. And that also brings me to another bit. Make sure you have an interesting 404 page. They're not that difficult to build. And make sure that you have a site search built into your 404 page. Find what you're looking for. I think I've got a really funny one on neo1seo.com. It's the robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Marvin.
Marvin. So if they didn't find what they were looking for, at least they have a quick chuckle and they have the chance to search what they were looking for, right? So you don't lose them completely. So, yes, absolutely look at your broken links. Site Audit can do that for you real quick. There's tons of excellent tools out there, some paid, some free. Always, when in doubt, Google first, ask questions later. Site Audit, fix broken links, things of that nature. You can even go to the W3C, run your site through that. And a lot of times it'll say, oh, you have, on the site crawl, you have 118 broken links, and it'll tell you, okay, start going through that list. Why is this one broken? This shouldn't be broken. Oh, somebody got in here and changed this. It's supposed to be this. Man, I wonder how many people we lost. Fix it. This is why we're talking about spring cleaning. These things should be done on a regular basis, not just every spring, but go and take a look at these at least every quarter, you know? Every 3 months, you should be taking a look at those and making sure that you don't have defunct product pages out there. if you do have a defunct product page because you're not carrying that anymore, 301 redirect it to the closest item that you do have. If you don't have something, 301 it to a new page, or if you're out of stock, say, look, we're out of stock, here's the next date that it'll be in, go update that page, let people know. But fix your broken links. Very important. You could be losing all kinds of business. A lot of people say that's one of the quickest ways to get links back to your site. Somebody may have linked, you may have had 50 people link to that particular page and there's nothing there. You 301 redirect it to a page that's very similar or has the product or it's the new page or whatever the case may be. Bam, there you go. Also, a lot of times, here's one of the big things that just chaps my hide. I've seen people move from a .NET type website, you know, .ASPX or whatever, and the company that switched them over never did a sitemap, and, you know, now on WordPress or Magento or whatever, so all of their links are broken.
Yep.
Because it's a different file extension, .ASPX instead of .HTML. If bluewidget1.aspx is now blue-widget-1.html on your Magento store, there should be a 301 redirect set up. So anybody that's previously linked to that is going to find it. Otherwise, you're starting over from scratch, and it's a huge boneheaded mistake to do that. So make sure that those sorts of things are taken care of. Site changes. Any web dev company worth their salt is going to know, oh yeah, we pull a sitemap, make sure we know where everything is and what the new URL structure is, and set up some 301s and let people know that it's changed. So broken links, no bueno. Well, and the next thing we've got on there is site speed, which do a caffeine update for site speed. If you're loading a whole bunch of fancy stuff up because you think it's the greatest, latest and greatest fad on the web or whatever, and you want a really interactive website, was that lingscars.com? That thing takes like 5 minutes to load on my 65 meg download speed on my...
Wow. It's a sweet site, too.
It is a sweet site. It's horrible. Probably one of the worst websites in the entire world.
It's like the carnival of websites.
It's got MIDI music in the background.
What's the name of this site again?
I think it's Ling's Cars or something like that. It's hilarious. And it's got flashing GIFs here and there and babies' faces over cars and stuff, and like somebody playing the piano through a .MIDI file, and you can't... It is like a circus. You get there and you're just like, oh, what is happening to my computer? This is crazy.
Now, is that a GeoCities site?
It might be.
For a tripod?
Certain, but... yeah, it's a bad example. But the point is, the site speed, that does come into play. People on slower connections, if they can't get it to load, oh, this site's broken, they're going to hit the back button and leave. You want to build something that most people can get to, they can look at, and it shouldn't take a minute and a half to load your website. That's a bad user experience. So...
Yeah, you want to have a really high bounce rate, have a really slow loading site.
Oh, no kidding.
Right.
No kidding. Only your competition's only a click away.
Yep.
Correct. So, do a check on your site speed. It's not one of those where I don't live and die by that. If we can get it within certain parameters, you're going to be fine. So, but that could be an issue. So, not nearly as important as your RDFA and schema, though. A lot of people know what schema is. Not a lot of people know what RDFA is. Sir Tim Berners-Lee invented this, the same guy that invented HTML, what the backbone of the web is. It stands for Resource Description Framework and Attributes. So much like the meta keyword of the early 2000, late 90s, boy, back in the day, all I had to do was dump 10,000 key phrases into a keyword meta tag, and I was ranking for all
kinds. There you go.
not the case. I'm not saying you can spam this. Please don't. We'd like this not to be ruined. It is very good. It does share a lot of information. You've probably seen people with 5 gold stars based off of 224 reviews, $299 in stock, and here's a breadcrumb trail of where it's at in the website. So things of that nature, very, very cool. All of that can be done through RDFA.
Wow, was that the apocalypse?
that was traffic. I'm outside pacing around. Point being, you can do things like geolocation services. You know, this is our actual location, latitude, longitude. That helps with Google Maps and local. This is the official name of our company. Just all kinds of things can be done with RDFA. Same as schema. You can set up events. You can set up all kinds of different things. So make sure that you're using them. And if you're not, you should be studying them. And if you have any questions, again, we have that ask a question section. Hey, how could we implement RDFA? What would we put in here? What would, show us that we're doing this right? You can do a quick Google search for Google Rich Snippets tool. That'll take you to a Webmaster Tools page where you can drop in the URL of any one of your pages and see if you already have it on, and it'll show what the results page would look like, or your search engine results snippet would look like inside of the organic SERPs. Very good to look at that. Google is using it. We're starting to see knowledge graph ads show up. There's all kinds of things that we can do, down to definitions of products, their height, width, weight, dimensions, whether or not you accept Visa, MasterCard, if you ship through DHL, FedEx, UPS, all of these things. I like to call RDFA Scooby Snacks for Googlebot. It's a lot of extra information that we can give to Googlebot without over inundating people on our site content, because we have people coming in and we have robots coming in. But those people are only going to come in if the robots like what they see, because that puts us higher on the search result pages, right? So if Google can say, all right, this is exactly this. Here's a good example. One of our old clients, podiatrist, talking about a corn on the foot. There's also corn, K-O-R-N, the band. There's corn on the cob. There's corn-based soy. There's coin-based vehicles. There's all kinds of different things that you could... there's corn that you put in your mouth, and there's a nasty corn that's on your foot, right? So in the case of the podiatrist...
Speak for yourself.
Well, I've never seen a button's foot in Google Images that I'd put in my mouth. But different strokes for different folks, Boyd. interesting. So my point is, we can let... The site readers are going to know, because... In the content, we're RDFA tagging that corn to a medical disorder that happens on a foot that a podiatrist would be the proper specialist to go to that fixed, right? So that's for Googlebot's information. Those are Scooby Snacks for Googlebot. So Googlebot can come in and go, oh, okay, this is that nasty thing on a foot, and here's all this information, and I'm reducing it to the ridiculous again. There's really over probably 6,000 lines of data that Googlebot picks up. You're not going to put all of that data in a piece of content. If you're already on a podiatrist website looking at ways to treat a corn, you already know what a corn is, so you don't need those 6,000 lines of content. Google needs it to be able to go, this is not a corn on the cob, this is a corn on a foot, right? So there are several, and that's just one instance, there are several different ways for RDFA to help explain the content that's on your site to Googlebot and make it light and easy reading for your site's viewers without over inundating them with technical jargon that they may not understand or that they're not looking for, right? So
yep.
Lots of ways to use RDFA. Schema is a lot easier for people to use. There's actually Raven Tools has a great tool for that. For schema, you can set those up. And then, well, you already covered the regular content. Make sure those are, Google is a robot at the end of the day, or Googlebot is, not Google the company, but frequency. I always preach frequency to all of our clients. You get somebody brand new with a website, or they've got a new blog hooked up to the website. This is great. I'm going to blog 30 times a day, and you know, they get 60 blog posts out that first month. By month six, if a single blog post comes out, you're lucky. The newness and the coolness wears off. It's like getting kids something that they absolutely would die if they didn't get for Christmas, and they play with it for 2 months, and then it sits in their toy box for the next 2 years before you have to fight with them about giving it away.
Yep, that's my favorite.
Consistency.
That's my favorite. You can't get rid of it. You haven't played with this in 2 years, right? So it's the same sort of thing with Googlebot. If you're giving them regular content on a regular time, it's kind of like Pavlov's dog. We've been able to actually train Googlebot in certain instances. We have a method that we've been using for the last 3 years, and it works excellent. We can go look at the raw server logs and see that Googlebot comes in almost 1 to 5 minutes after our server posts fresh content every week. Because it's there, they know it's coming, and Google's job is to index the web. So these guys are putting this out on a regular basis. We'll be there at this time. We'll be here at this time. We'll be here at this time. You stop doing that, why is Googlebot going to come back? If they haven't had any content in 3 months, they may start checking your site out every month and a half or every 2 months, as opposed to every week when you had been putting out regular content. So frequency is key. And make sure you're putting out some quality content. If you don't have anything to say, then, you know, link out to some of the quality stuff that's happening in your industry. And here's what I thought about this one. Here's what I thought about that. Here's my thoughts on this one. Throw out some links. At least you're talking about what's happening in your industry. So that's probably for spring cleaning. Seems like a lot of work, but if you take it in small buckets, and you know, I'll work on my I'll set up Google Analytics today, and tomorrow I'll set up Webmaster Tools, and maybe next week I'll spend the week looking at my keywords, and I'll make sure my social buttons are set up the following week. Take the entire, you know, month of March and April to go ahead and get all of these things done, and just revisit them setting up Google Analytics and Webmaster Tools, you're not going to have to set up more than once, but keywords, social, broken links, site speed, your RDFA and your content, those should be revisited on a quarterly basis. How are we doing? What did this do for us? You can go back and look at analytics. What did my efforts do? Hey, this actually resulted in 16 conversions. We'd like to make more sales. Maybe we should up in this area. Maybe we should do more here. So be cognizant of all of them, work on them, break them up into small buckets, and get the work done. That's how this SEO thing works. So,
yep.
A lot of work, not quick and easy. We do not have a magic wand that we wave over our monitors and make people rank overnight. So, anywho, that's all I have for this week. And be sure, I've already mentioned it, we do have an Ask a Question section. We will be setting up the SEO 101 training videos for a free download. They were previously being sold for $97. It is yours truly and Brian Mark. I believe it's 8 hours of video. It's completely free if you give us your email, so we can send you a non-spammy, non-obtrusive, or, you know, it's not going to be crap. We're going to send you some of the stuff that happens in web dev, design, and SEO each week, and maybe our favorite blog post from around the web. Nice little weekly digest. All yours for free. And thanks for listening. For the Mind Your SEO podcast, this is David.
This is Mark.
And this is Russ.
We'll see you guys next time.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, remember, turn on, tune in, and rank.